So thanks, Laurie. So we have had very good presentations ahead of me. I'm going to just try to summarize their points as we go. So I'm going to thank my mentors, Dr. Sarfati, Dr. Crawford, and Dr. Simmons, who participated with me in approving this project and going along. It's not moving. So no relationships to disclose. This was not a funded study. It is all student-based and faculty-based things which were done. So just going forward, as we spoke before also, we discussed the diabetes and eye care. Diabetic retinopathy is the leading cause of blindness among working-age population in the United States. It causes a huge burden of psychological, functional, and economic morbidity. A diabetic is 25 times more likely to go blind than a person in the general population. The numbers, as we discussed before, also are expected to increase. They are going to boom from 5.5 million in 2005 to 16 million in 2050. And the number with vision-threatening diabetic retinopathy is expected to increase from 1.2 million in 2005 to 3.4 million in 2050. And that's talking about United States alone. 10 years after diagnosis of diabetes, the prevalence of retinopathy is 40 to 50%, and after 20 years, the prevalence is 90%. So 90% of the patients with diabetes in 20 years are prone to get diabetic retinopathy. Discussing a little bit about economic costs, diabetes has a substantial impact on resource utilization, medical expenditures, patient functioning, and indirect costs. All these have been discussed with Michelle before. And approximately $500 million in direct medical costs and much more in indirect costs have already been incurred by the society. The Healthy People 2020 objective is to increase the proportion of adults with diabetes who have an annual dilated eye exam and not just the refractive exam. Diabetic retinopathy, which damages the small blood vessels in the back of the eye, causes up to 24,000 new cases of blindness each year, and I believe everybody of us knows it is preventable. So the importance of screening. A comprehensive dilated eye exam is considered a specific screening exam, and for diabetic retinopathy, it may be undertaken for two reasons: the detection of the symptomatic and the asymptomatic disease at an early stage, and the detection of disease of sufficient severity to require consideration for early and prompt treatment. The American Association of Ophthalmology guidelines are that for type 1 diabetes, they should get a first eye exam within 3 to 5 years of their diagnosis, with an yearly follow-up, and for type 2, it should be at the time of diagnosis with an yearly follow-up. The ADA, the American Diabetes Association, follows similar guidelines, but just it can be that depending on the physician's discretion, for patients who have normal eye exams in the past and who are at low risk can get the dilated eye exam every 2 years. So the research questions behind this study were to assess the awareness level of ocular illness associated with diabetes in diabetic patients, and to assess the barriers or facilitators for a dilated eye exam in diabetic patients. The specific aim was to assess the impact that knowledge about the consensus guidelines for regular eye exams has on the decision of diabetic patients to receive an annual recommended eye exam, and to determine the impact of barriers or facilitators on the decisions to receive a screening eye exam. So the hypothesis follows the aims. The study design, it was a cross-sectional study, and the Institutional Review Board considered the study as an exempt study, and informed consent was implied. A survey was designed and pilot tested because we did not find a pre-validated survey tool which would assess the things which we were looking for. It was done at Jefferson Family Medicine, which is an urban academic center with residents, students, fellows, and attendings. And patients receiving primary care at that clinic within the age range of 18 to 64 years with the diagnosis of diabetes were included in the study. We chose the age range of 18 to 64 because we did not want to include the older patients, which were more than 65. I mean, most of them already have the disease. So we were looking for with the working age population to find out, like, why they are not getting the dilated eye exam as recommended. So the theoretical basis of the survey, it was based on the health belief model, which is based on two theories adapted from behavioral sciences, the stimulus response theory and the cognitive theory. The stimulus response theory determines the frequency of a behavior is determined by its consequences or reinforcements. And the cognitive theory is behavior is a function of the value of an outcome and the probability or expectation that a particular action will achieve that outcome. Various modifying factors, which include the demographics, personality traits, socioeconomic status, and knowledge, is the modifying factor which has an influence on the individual perceptions of perceived susceptibility and severity of the disease, which can influence the perceived threat of the disease and the likelihood of behavior change, where our goal was to get them an annual eye exam. Cues to action included education and symptoms. People who do have symptoms are more likely to have an eye exam. And the likelihood of action was based on the perceived benefit minus the perceived barriers. Some of the measured variables included the independent variables, including the knowledge of diabetic retinopathy, knowledge of the dilated fundus exam, the barriers to the eye exam, the duration and sociodemographic characteristics, and the dependent variable is the decision to receive a dilated eye exam periodically. The probability is 80% that the study will detect a difference of 20% between the independent and dependent variables at a two-sided 5% significance level. We used a simple random sampling technique to select 200 participants, and all the subsequent data analysis was done through SAS. So the list of diabetic patients from three different insurance companies were received, Aetna, Independence Blue Cross, and Keystone Mercy. These three insurance companies contribute to the majority of patients at Jefferson Family Medicine Clinic, and these cover the largest population. Simple random sampling technique was used by Excel to select 67 patients each from three different insurance companies to a total of 200 patients. We wanted to make sure that we at least get equal response rate from the insurance companies, and to our good luck, about 30% from each group responded back, so we could do some analysis. So a complete package of the survey sheet, a cover letter, and a self-addressed return envelope was mailed to the selected participants. Based on the Cochrane systematic review, a monetary raffle was added as an incentive to increase the response rate, because it's not, everybody has a problem to get the response rate from mail-out surveys. So we did a raffle draw. That was nice. So now I'm going to talk about the descriptive statistics and as inferential statistics, the potential determinants of the knowledge of the disease and eye exams, such as gender, race, educational level, type of insurance, employment status, all were analyzed using bivariate analysis and chi-square test. So 56, about 28% responses were received out of a total of 200 male surveys. 70% were females and 30% males. 75% were African Americans, 23% Caucasians. 9% were ethnicity had Hispanic origin. And 85% of the patients had type 2 diabetes. 7.4% were type 1, and 7.4% were not sure. Only 50% of the patients we received were currently employed. About 56% of the responses of the respondent participants had diabetes for 2 to 10 years, and 11% were not sure, 13% were 11 to 20 years, and 9% for more than 20 years. 68% of the patients got their last dilated eye exam within 1 year. So this was the response which was on the patient's remembrance, patient's memory. We relied on their memory. We did not go into medical records to verify that. We totally relied on their memory to answer this question, whether they did get an eye exam. That was specifically asked, the dilated eye exam. 12.5% between 1 to 2 years, and 7% had never got it done or were not sure. So the reasons for getting a dilated eye exam were 48% knew it was their time to get this done. 30% had some eye problems, 27% were told by their physicians, 13% were told by their educators, 4% received a reminder in the mail, and some other. The self-reported barriers, 36% were fearful to get it done, 27% felt that their eyes are okay and they don't need it, 18% had cost as a problem. Some had similarly transportation issues, difficulty getting an appointment, and some said they don't have time. So This is going into more details of knowledge of diabetic retinopathy versus the dilated eye exam within 2 years. So this graph shows low knowledge, medium knowledge, high knowledge based on the questions we had. So less than 2 questions correct was low knowledge, medium was 2 to 4, and more than 4 was high knowledge. We compared the knowledge with their decision to get an eye exam as yes or no. So patients who had high knowledge, 94% of them did get an eye exam, versus only 62% who had low knowledge got an eye exam. So their own knowledge about the disease really makes a difference, although it was not statistically significant. This table is of knowledge of dilated fundus exam within 2 years. Again, it was based on less than two to four, and more than four questions correct in the table I'm going to show eventually. So 94% of the patients who had high knowledge about the dilated eye exam did get an eye exam within the past 2 years, whereas only 45% who had low knowledge got their eye exam. And this was statistically significant. So this really shows that the knowledge of dilated fundus exam makes a big difference. Then we compare the educational level. So 93% of the patients who were more than college graduates did get an eye exam, whereas 78% of the patients who were less than high school got an eye exam. So this is actually their formal educational level versus their decision. We had 3 different insurance companies, as I mentioned in the beginning, and then we did an analysis to find out whether the insurance company makes a difference. And it was a statistically significant difference with a P of 0.01, that 60% of the patients with Keystone Mercy got an eye exam, as compared to 94% with Aetna and 89% with Independence Blue Cross. So we wanted to see what is the difference, that why different insurance companies have a difference, although they come to the same clinic. It's the same primary care clinic where all the patients are coming in, but still there is a difference among the different insurance companies. So we compared the different insurance companies with their formal educational level. Although not statistically significant, but it was found that only 57% of the patients with Aetna were more than college graduates, versus 14% with Keystone Mercy who were more than college graduates. So the conclusions were that the results of this study suggest that 68% of the population from this primary care practice got an eye exam within a year, and facilitators included awareness or knowledge about the disease and about the exam. The symptoms of the eye played a big hand motivating the patients to get their eye exam done, and information from their physicians. About 20% of the patients did not get an eye exam as recommended, and various barriers included cost, transportation, lack of symptoms, and fear of the exam. 84% of the patients were aware of the importance of regular eye examinations, irrespective of their decision. So 84% of the patients knew that a patient with diabetes does need an annual eye exam. And knowledge about the dilated fundus eye exam has a statistically significant relationship with the decision to get an eye exam. Hence, knowledge can be one of the drivers for this behavior. As we discussed before, literacy and its impact on knowledge has been established well before in previous studies, and this study results are consistent with it. 93% of the patients who achieved an educational level of college graduation or above did get an eye exam, so the formal educational level does make a difference. But why the difference among the insurance companies? That was a big question, which is still unanswered. And our guess is that the patients with Keystone Mercy, who are actually all Medicaid recipients, may have greater socioeconomic disadvantages, including the cost, transportation issues, copay, and have less formal education than the patients with Aetna or Independence Blue Cross. This was a small pilot study which was not funded. It was done on a student's basis to assess the knowledge of diabetic patients in the primary care practice. But I do think that similar study can be done at a bigger scale, including the hospitals and eye clinics, to find out what are the barriers which can be addressed to overcome this problem of diabetic retinopathy and getting it screened. The results cannot be generalized to other primary care practice because of their own individual issues, and the larger study is recommended, especially with Keystone Mercy patients, to obtain more definitive information that could lead to practice improvements. So I'm still working on getting some funding, or working on with the Keystone Mercy patients from Wills Eye Hospital and Jefferson Family Medicine moving forward. So the recommended changes in clinical practice were that information and support on the disease and the importance of dilated eye exam can help motivate patients to see an ophthalmologist or an optometrist. The key information included, we found that the patients did not know that diabetic retinopathy is a common complication of diabetes, which may not have any symptoms. It can be treated effectively if found early. It can cause blindness, and it can affect any patient with diabetes, even if they have well control of their blood sugar. Patients did not know that a dilated fundus eye exam is a safe procedure. It is a good way to find eye problems early. It is not painful, and it is equally important for people with or without good control of their blood sugar. This is just a Gantt chart out of the student's thing. So this is the survey which was designed by me and my other colleagues, which went on, which had six or seven corrections. We did a pilot testing with the patients, and then we modified it again and finally used this one, which assessed the questions, which has questions about eye care, asking about when did they get their eye exam, their facilitators, their barriers, and other questions. So if you would like me to share it with you, I can post it or give it to you. So these were the questions which assessed the knowledge of the diabetic retinopathy, this box, and the knowledge of the eye exam, and some questions about themselves. Thank you.